Isaiah 43. Starting in verse 18. Let's read it together. Ready? Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Father, we pray you bless this message this morning. We pray you'd use it for each one of us, Lord. You know what we all need to hear, how we need to be encouraged. We pray for your grace today, Lord. In many ways. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God is always bringing us into new places, and he's doing it all the time. Even the old place looks like a new place because it's different. Yesterday's situations are gone. We got brand new things to deal with all the time. God is constantly bringing us into new places. And he's always, as a result of that, challenging his people to learn. If you only got the same problem over and over again, right, you wouldn't learn anything. Some of us have the same problem over and over again. We still don't learn anything. Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they what should have been like a 40-day trip took them like years and years, and every now and then they'd go in a big circle and they'd see their garbage. They go around and they'd see it. Hey, wait a minute, that pile of trash looks familiar. It was their old garbage, and they couldn't get away from it. They just walking in circles. Boy, that seems like a lot of people today, walking around in circles, not learning anything new, not allowing the challenges of new things to bring them to brand new places. Now, we ought to learn from our past, right? Hello? You want to learn from your past, but you don't camp there. Never camp there. Learn, but don't camp. Right? Everybody understand the difference? Okay, that's the whole message. Let's pray. Learn, but don't camp there. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, it says, don't say, where are the good old days? You hear people talk about that all the time. Oh, you remember the good old days when we had this and we had that. And then they look at today and they say, meh. Today's horrible. It was so much better way back then. You ever get tempted to think like that or talk like that? Huh? Have you? All of us do. There's things about years ago that I loved. Then you look at today and you think, you're tempted to think, eh. You know why we think, ugh, this is terrible? Because we don't understand something about God. That God wants to bring you to a brand new place, and that brand new place will have a river in the desert and streams of water running through the wilderness. This wilderness you're in, God wants to show you that he can make streams run in that wilderness, that he can put rivers in that desert. You say, this is a horrible situation. There's rivers in the desert. God is going to create rivers in that desert. Now, if I just bemoan and whine and complain and lick my wounds and feel sorrowful and feel sorry for myself, I'm not going to see God do anything new. I'll just be stranded in this old way of thinking. So Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press towards the prize of the high call. Forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing on. You know, let go, good or bad, of the past. You got to let it go. I can't press on unless I leave the past behind. I can't drag this massive pile of the past and go forward. You know, yeah, it was great. Yeah, there were things in my past that were fantastic. There were things in the church, fantastic. There were things in ministry, marvelous. There are places we've gone and people we've seen and stuff we've done and experiences that we've shared. All of them, many, many of them, wonderful, wonderful things. There's also a lot of garbage. Now, I compiled a list of things that have happened in my ministry, in our ministry, over the past 35 years, starting from when the church back in Rome had its first major trial, and I had to leave, and then I had left there, then I got called back there, then we come here, and you get people coming, you got all kinds of wild things going on. I can't even tell you half the stuff, because some of it you don't know about. The wild things, wild people, the division people have tried to cause, the difficulties we face, the stuff that we've gone through here over and over and over again. I could look back and say, and I read the list. We read it last night. Karen and I, actually, we started the list. We were trying to go to sleep one night, and all of a sudden we just started talking about these things that happened. And by the time we got to 4 or 5, we were laughing hysterically because it's hard not to laugh. I mean, it's been so insanely crazy. And some of it's so bad, there's no way you can not laugh at it. Or you cry. And it was a combination of laughing and crying at the same time. But you look back at that, and you know what? If I hold on to those things, and I keep thinking about those people that did this, or this thing happened, I will not be able to move forward. I will be paralyzed. And in each one of those things, and every single thing that's happened to me in my life, I've been tempted to quit because they've been some serious, serious things. And you know who quits? The ones who don't let go of the past. Listen, learn, enjoy the fragrance of those memories, but you cannot camp there. You have to go forward. And you cannot go forward while you're dragging all this stuff behind you. I think it's amazing. We have a grief share that's going to be coming up in a week. And those that are leading it are the ones that would have every right, naturally speaking, to want to quit and not do that ministry. But you know what? I'm proud of them because this is the moving forward. It's not leaving what they love behind. This is different than that. This is going into a brand new place with God and taking people there and using the very thing that could cause great grief to bring great peace to people. And that's an amazing thing, and I'm proud of all three of our ladies. Let's give them a big hand, the ones that are doing that. Desi, we had coal for you, but it's not there now. Oh, can you put the message on in the mother's room? Okay. There are some people that they just can't let go of the past. I know I had a very good friend who had made had an affair and got a girl pregnant while he was married. And he could not get past that, and it was years. He could not get past it. The shame, the guilt, the disappointment, could not get past it. And he's still trapped in it. It destroyed his ministry. It destroyed any potential he had. So God wants to take you to a brand new place. This thing you're facing right now is an opportunity to learn something about God that's brand new. It's an opportunity to see a river going through a desert. Now, have you ever Anyone ever been to like the Mojave Desert? No. Is that the biggest desert in the world? What's the biggest desert? The Sahara? What? Antarctica? I guess that's a desert, yeah. So the desert being talked about here is a sand desert, like one of those kind of deserts. Like Israel would be familiar with these sandy deserts. But the desert, you don't see rivers going through a desert unless you're hallucinating. Right? Like Kathy does sometimes. So we have this this desert we're in. And then all of a sudden, in comes this river. And it's the faithfulness of God. It's like God just shows up. Like you ask yourself sometimes, what are you doing here? How did this miracle happen? Why are you visiting me during this time? This is a terrible time, and yet here comes God. He just shows up. There's a river in the desert. So this is an amazing thing to see. And God has repeatedly, over and over again, done that in my life, and I know he's done that in yours too. So God is bringing us into new places, and he's also making us brand new. He's kind of renewing us day by day, isn't he? So we got a new year coming. So, of course, the theme here today is new things. New places, new people, and new things. And one of the new things that's going to happen is you're going to get transformed again. God's going to keep working in your life. How's that? Sometimes that's a little scary. But God's going to keep challenging you, and he's going to use these new things to put you off balance so that you learn something new about God. Here's the thing. Even Israel experienced this. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, they're kind of on their trip there toward the promised land, and they get to the Jordan, and it's a brand new place. And the word of God says there that they said, we've never been this way before. We've been around here before, but we've never been this particular way before. This is a brand new place. And the instructions are fascinating. So turn to Joshua for a second. Israel in the morning is getting ready to cross the Jordan from the Acacia Grove. They come to the Jordan. Joshua and all the children of Israel lodged there before they cross. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp and said to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So what they're saying is the Ark is going to go first. The Ark represented the promise of God, the covenant of God, and the presence of God. Let me say that again. The promise of God, the covenants of God, and the presence of God. And here comes the priest. They're going to go first. They're going to go across the Jordan. But they said to the people, let the ark go first. Follow God. Don't jump out ahead of them. Follow God. And when you see it, there will be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's quite a distance. Show some respect, let God go first, and let him prove his faithfulness. Don't come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, because you've never passed this way before. See, I have to follow God. God puts me in a place where I have to trust him. There's no other option, because I don't know how to go where he wants me to go. I've never been here before. So God puts us in this place where we have no natural ability. We can't manipulate the situation. We can't fix it on our own. We can't do damage control. Nothing. All we can do is wait and trust God. And then we see the ark go first, and that's when we move. We move when we see God move. We go when we see God go. We go when we hear God say go, and we obey God when he tells us what to do. Because we've never been this way before. And you know when they crossed here on dry ground. It's not only the Red Sea that got parted. The Jordan was parted also, so they walked on dry ground. And you know what they did afterwards? They built a memorial there to remember the faithfulness of God. All these things become memorials. You know, it would be really painful for me to go look at that list. I looked at it again last night. We read it out loud. Just went through the whole list. Some of it kind of Some of it kind of funny. Some of it not so funny. But you know all those things are? They're a pile of rocks. They're an altar. They're a memorial of all the places, all the new places God brought us through. All the things that God has done in your life. All the difficulty you faced, all the pain, all the suffering and sorrow, all the good things, all the challenges. And you experience all that. And then you look back on it years later and you see that big pile of rocks. Just like that pile of rocks in the Jordan. And you remember how God got you through that. God got you through that. Some very simple things, some very profound things. But God got you through all of it. So it's a brand new place. You've never been here before. God brings you to this new thing and does a brand new thing, and there you are. Here comes a stream right in the sand. You say, wow, God is building something here. God is doing something special here. I don't like the way he did it. I hardly ever liked the way he did it, but I realized there wasn't any other way for him to do what he wanted to do. God doesn't just wave a magic wand and make you a better person. It involves you experiencing a need for him. Because I can't change without needing him. I can't change without him. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. So that new place you go to, that painful place, is God just keeping his promise to conform you to the image of his Son. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's just keeping his promise. And in the end, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works a far greater weight of eternal glory. And one day, we'll be in heaven standing around, and we're going to look at our lists. We're going to say, wow, that was really... For what God has done here, what a light affliction. Even the most awful things we think we've experienced, light afflictions in the perspective of heaven. Pretty amazing. But he's also made us brand new. Not only is he making brand new things, he's making us brand new. For 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, talk about the new creation. And many of you have read this verse, but there's something interesting about this I want to point out. In 2 Corinthians 5, you start in verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. It starts there, right? And this literally means we no longer are identified in the flesh. In other words, the law and our efforts to walk in righteousness apart from faith. We don't identify that way. We're no longer, Paul's talking as a Jew, and he's saying, we no longer identify ourselves under the law. That's what it means in the flesh. Our effort, our human effort to do these things to gain a place with God. That's done. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh. Now, it can't mean Christ according to sinful flesh. He had no sinful flesh. So it's talking about, the flesh is talking about being under the law. We even know Christ as under the law. But we know him thus no longer. Pretty amazing. We knew Christ under the law, but not anymore. And then he says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that is the most incredible thing ever, to be a brand new creation, to be identified brand new. The new creation is the church. And being a new creature means that's my identity. Now, I'm an Italian. I'm also a Graziano, and I'm an American. I'm an Italian-American Graziano. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that. What a great identity. That's my identity. Now, it speaks nothing about my behavior. Nothing about my weaknesses, just my identity. The new creation is your identity. That's who you are. It doesn't speak to your weaknesses, your strengths, nothing. You are in Christ, period. Do you understand this? If you believe, you're in Christ, period. That's it. That's your identity. And that's how you identify with God, and that's how you auto-identify one another. So we know, therefore, we don't know anybody else after the flesh either. So we stop looking at each other under the flesh. This one measures up. This one doesn't measure up. This one's good. This one's bad. This one's doing great. This one's not doing so great. We start measuring people under the flesh. And instead of, listen, that's the new creation. And I trust God for that new creation that God is working in his or her life, period. Just like he works in mine. Right? My current state changes, but my position never does. And we've talked about that. This goes on and says, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Newness, in my grasp of that, gives me a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, I will never be an effective ambassador for Christ unless I embrace my own newness and I embrace your newness. Hello? I'm a new creature. Do you think you could be an ambassador for Christ if you didn't get that? If you looked at yourself as someone who's constantly striving and falling short, someone who's constantly, you're on the performance treadmill with God. You're not getting anywhere. The wheel spins. You ever notice on a treadmill you're really not going anywhere? Had a great workout this morning. Where'd you go? Nowhere. That's a treadmill. That's the law. That's legalism. You get on this treadmill and you're working and you're, look at me, I'm going somewhere. No, you're not. You congratulate yourself for going somewhere, but you didn't get anywhere. You start at one place and you're in the same place when you finish. That's legalism. It's a treadmill. And those that are on that treadmill are not good ambassadors for Christ, because all they tell other people to do is to get on the treadmill with them. As a new creature, I can tell you, you can't earn any place with God. You don't earn favor with God. As a matter of fact, I've been at my weakest parts, in the weakest places of my life, and God has shown me his great favor. Grace always meets my need. God consistently does that. So the newness that we understand gives us a ministry of reconciliation. I want to encourage you this morning. You're in new places, becoming a new creation, becoming new, getting renewed. And when you do that, you're going to meet new people. And I want to challenge you this year to meet new people. Find new people. Look for new people. You are the light of the world. A town or a city built on a hill can't be hidden, Matthew 5:14. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're called to shine this light we have in the world. Go meet some new people. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Boy, that is so true. Where are all the laborers? You know where they are? They're in the past. They're stuck. They're focused on what God isn't doing, what they wanted God to do. They're stranded in disappointment, stuck in the past. That's where all the laborers are. There's a whole group of them, wounded and hurting and tired, because they can't see the new thing God is trying to do. So in Romans 15:7 says, accept one another as Christ accepted you and bring praise to God. It's a beautiful thing to bring people to Christ. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. You know, this is an amazing thing when you think about it, the gift of hospitality. Now, some people have a phenomenal gift of hospitality, don't they? Some people know how to invite people into things and prepare things. And you know, you watch some of our ladies and some of our men that have that gift of hospitality. But Jesus said, show hospitality. That means every one of us should show hospitality to people. For in doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now, I've heard some really interesting interpretations of that verse. Some people interpret it very plainly and says, you don't know who you're entertaining. You know, you never know who you have in your home. You know, that's why it's important to do two things. Number one, always show grace and invite people in your home, but always keep a weapon handy. Because you never know who's coming into your house. So be hospitable, but be smart about it. And then offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. This is 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I got to tell you, there was a guy back in Rome who he was always, come on over. And you come over and then grumbling the whole time. He would grumble about his life. He didn't grumble about having you come over, but he would just be constantly grumbling. I think maybe that was his middle name, Grumble. Mr. Grumble, I should remember that. So you open up your heart and your home and your life to people. Create space where relationships can grow. Create some space for people. I guess that's what hospitality, best definition is. Doesn't necessarily mean they got to come in your house. But if you're making space for people, coffee, time, go for a walk. Anne Marie's very good at that. She had a friend come in from out of town, went for a hike. You just do that kind of stuff. You make space for people. New places, new things, and new people. So here's a challenge for you this year. I want you to think of someone who's not a part of this church. I want you to think of someone that you know is not a believer, but you're their friend and you love them. Reach them with hospitality. Write on a piece of paper their name. Come up with 5 things that you can do with them this year that will show hospitality. You could have them over for dinner. Maybe in the summertime, bring them over and feed them a hamburger on your deck, if you have a deck. If not, have a hamburger in the garage. Whatever you got to do, right? Maybe you're going to invite them over to play cards. Like we had a couple comes once in a great while. We found this great card game called Play 9. You want to find a great, this is a great card game. It's a deck of cards, and it's kind of a golf course thing, but it's fun. So the hospitality, you're just inviting people into your home, and you're having fun. I want to win those 2 to Christ. And of course, she knows I do. I don't know where he's at. But you have a few people like that in your life, new people, to go after some new folks. And a new approach, a hospitality. Let God do a new thing and take you out from this past year. Listen, we've had some, in the last, let me see, 16 months, 14 months, we've had some pain. We've all had some serious loss. This congregation has had some losses. You know, from Menzo to Dr. Lewis to Chris, others. I mean, we've had sickness. We've had all kinds of difficulty. There's been some losses this last several months. You know what? I love those guys. I'll remember them the rest of my life. I'll never forget their friendship. But you know what? I know it would honor them moving forward. I know it would honor them hospitality and going to a new place and trying some new stuff and getting a little daring and taking chances with people and saying, you know what? Come over and eat some pie, whatever it takes. And show hospitality and love and grace and speak to them. And let God take us to some brand new places. Amen? Meeting new people is a part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. As you meet new people and as you try new things, you're going to become a witness to the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And you know what you become for people? You become a river in their desert. You become a way in their wilderness. So let's believe God for that this year. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for these new places. It's hard to say that, but thank you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to look for the river and the wilderness, those deserts, those tough places. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah 45, hidden riches and secret places and dark places. you do that. You sometimes we're off balance by it, but Lord, we know that you're faithful and that you're going to consistently teach us, lead us, guide us, change us, and help us. So bless our day here today, Lord, our fellowship time that follows this. We pray you minister to each heart here in a very special, beautiful way. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.